You're listening to the Rhythm and News Service of listener-supported Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Dave Jackson. Welcome to another JPR Live session where we get to better know artists we admire and hear exclusive studio performances from JPR's Steve Nelson Performance Studio on the campus of SOU. JPR Live sessions are made possible with community support from the Talent Club. Find their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. My guest today is the Rosalees, an all-female bluegrass band hailing from Southern Oregon. Last spring, they released their debut album, Wake Up Call. Been touring pretty hard since then. They've had several festival appearances and numerous shows throughout the Northwest. And they're performing tonight at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival's Green Show. You can catch them there for free. And at Mount Ashland tomorrow night, more information on their shows can be found at therosalees.com. Welcome to JPR.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you.
First of all, introduce yourselves. Who's in the band?
I'm Jesse Watson. I play fiddle.
My name is Becca McKelvidge, and I play guitar and sing.
My name is Holly Hurley, and I play bass and sing.
I'm Rachel Buckland, and I play banjo and sometimes fiddle.
Great. So I understand this project began as an offshoot of Waking Hazel and 33 String Drive. Tell us about the origin story of the Rosalees.
Well, Jesse and Rachel and I started playing in Waking Hazel, which is a bluegrass band based out of Southern Oregon here. And over the course of COVID, things kind of dissolved a little bit, and we kept playing together as a trio. And then we knew we wanted to maintain our band status and kind of expand a little bit with bass and maybe another songwriter and maybe another voice. And so we found Holly, and she was a perfect fit.
Holly was a dream. She's an amazing singer and vocalist, and she played in a band, or still plays in a band, called 33 String Drive. So we were really lucky to get her. We had to kind of convince her. I don't think she was totally sold at first, but when she when she realized, or I don't know how to say this.
I think the hesitation was when you have more than one band, you feel like you're cheating on
the other band,
the origin band. Yeah. And so it was, I had to broach it with the other band, like, hey,
negotiate a deal.
Thinking about doing this other project. And they were, of course, incredibly supportive. And actually, some further generations of 33 String Drive, we were able to actually recruit Jesse to play in that band as well. So
it's a small bluegrass community in Southern Oregon. Right. So there's a lot of crossover and also just a lot of support. Mm-hmm. So,
well, we'd love to hear a song. What do you want to start off with?
We're going to start off with one of Holly's songs. It's a song called Ellie Mae.
This is the Rosalees in a JPR Live session.
One, two, three. She walks through the town with her cape and crown. Don't care what anybody has to say. And she can captivate a crowd, and she sings her thoughts out loud. And they call her Ellie Mae. All the boys draw near with a little bit of fear. Her spirit's one they just can't get enough. She's a hurricane in heels, there's no guessing how she feels. She's sweet and wild and mean and stout and tough. And she's got starlight in her eyes and flowers in her hair. Pink cowboy boots to lead the way. And if you try to change her mind, she'll leave you far behind. Oh, 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 Ellie Mae. She said okay. But when he tried to kiss her high and she didn't understand, slapped him across the face and walked away. She's got freedom on her mind and fire in her soul, a heart that says to seize the day. And she can't keep Oh, 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 Ellie Mae.
That's the Rosalie's in a JPR live session with the tune Ellie Mae from their new release Wake Up Call. Find more about the Rosalie's on their social media pages. It's the Rosalie's on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. It's very nice. Thanks, guys. You each have a pretty, you've been doing this for a while, have kind of a deep background. What got you into music? Anybody can answer that.
I guess I can start. So as a kid, I played classical violin and Celtic fiddle, and I think I wanted to play it, but very soon it felt like my parents made me. And so I quit. And then I picked up music again. I actually minored at SOU in music, but I just barely dabbled in music again. And then I completely quit. Didn't identify as a musician at all. But then my daughter insisted on playing fiddle. And I tried to discourage her, but she really wanted to. So she started taking lessons. And through lessons, I met Rachel. And then Rachel invited me to start playing music with her and another group of people. They didn't tell me they were a band. And that was actually Waking Hazel. That's how I joined Waking Hazel. And then also I started teaching fiddle. And that's sort of how I got back into it. But a big thing for me about bluegrass is it's just so different than classical and Celtic music. So that's one reason I love it. And also the getting to sing harmonies is just really fun for me, something I had never done before.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the opposite of Jesse. I'm like totally self-taught. I had friends that I played music with, and they taught me some chords on the guitar. And then I would take my guitar with me over the summer to work out in the woods and just do it for fun. Totally. I have no idea what's going on musically. I'm just making it up.
But you are like an encyclopedia of music.
Yeah.
You read everybody's autobiography.
I read all the biographies. I watch all the documentaries. Yeah. Try to do my research. Okay. Yeah.
I did band. Yeah. I played the saxophone.
The saxophone?
Yep. Still have it. Not a lot of opportunity.
Not a lot of sax symbols.
Unfortunately.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Someday. Played guitar growing up. Wanted to, of course, play the electric guitar. And I got one when I was 8, but had to earn the electric guitar by learning some chords on an acoustic guitar, which the irony of this whole story is that I hated it so much because it was hard to play for my little fingers that I was being forced to learn to play a guitar on like a 1940s Martin. I was like, ugh, this guitar is the worst.
Most people would kill for that.
And now I can recognize as an adult, I'll swap that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any day.
Yep.
And Holly, you're probably the one who has the closest to a bluegrass background because your parents would take you to festivals as a kid.
Yeah, occasionally. More so as a teenager. They started really trying to play and played mandolin and guitar. My dad writes some songs here and there. And so started going to some bluegrass festivals up in the Portland area.
Yeah, great.
I played piano as a kid. I grew up in New Jersey and I didn't know anything about that fiddles existed or banjos or anything like that. And yeah, in my 20s, I just had this hankering to get a banjo. I just thought it would be cool. I didn't really know anything. And then I sort of just learned to play it. And then I learned to play fiddle when my daughter, at around the same time where that Jesse was talking about, her daughter was taking lessons. My daughter also wanted to take lessons. And that's where I kind of picked up the fiddle.
Seems to be working for you guys. Yeah. Do you see yourselves primarily as carrying on a tradition or preserving what bluegrass is, or do you feel there's room to expand in it? How do you feel about some of like the progressive bluegrass that's going on, or your guys' place in
sure,
all of that?
Yeah. Well, we definitely don't consider ourselves a traditional bluegrass band. That's a very like specific type of bluegrass music. Mm-hmm. But we definitely draw on that influence and recognize that there's a lot of people that we look up to, and especially like in songwriting, I look to a lot of people in the bluegrass genre. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of room to explore different elements. I think there's a lot of different flavors that we all bring in. Like, so when we're writing songs, you know, we're thinking about either swing or like Andrew Sisters elements come in sometimes, sometimes blues. And I think if you look back in the history of bluegrass music, you can also find those elements too, mm-hmm. even within like traditional bluegrass mm-hmm. songs. Bill Monroe certainly drew on a lot of different influences. But I think we don't try not to analyze it too much, like in the moment. You know what I mean?
Right. So it sounds like you're kind of open-minded about
we're open-minded, but we're also like try to definitely reflect on like the genre that we're working within as well.
I would say we're like very open-minded and in no way consider ourselves traditionals or experts, but we certainly look up to people in the bluegrass tradition. And also, even though like original songs and a lot of what we do is not necessarily a traditional bluegrass, we also try to bring some of that in always into a set. So we always try to do like a banjo fiddle number or just like a straight up bluegrass song. Cause actually, believe it or not, that sometimes is the most challenging for us. Uh-huh. So we choose it to keep us on our toes.
Right. That's great.
Like think of songwriters like Hazel Dickens and people who were writing, from a female perspective, but mm-hmm. that's something I think that's kind of unique to our band as well, uh-huh. that we, you know, can put that voice out there.
Right. How do you think that affects what you guys do being an all-female band?
Well, again, we try not to think about it too much.
Because LUA definitely comes from a female point of view.
It sure does. I think it just like when Holly and I guess I could kind of speak for Holly a little bit here. Like when we're sitting down to write, you know, you can't help but write from your own perspective and your own life experience. So as women, you know, working, kids, juggling a lot of different things, wearing a lot of different hats, that just kind of naturally seeps into whatever we're wanting to talk about in a song. Uh-huh. And so we can all kind of relate to that too, because we all have pretty similar life experiences.
Right. You guys are you all mothers?
We're all mothers. We all have two kids. Uh-huh. Two of them are named Hazel.
Not in the same family.
And you all have careers as well that don't involve music or maybe do, but not being in performing. Yeah. So that's a lot to kind of juggle. How do you manage to do that? Because I know you guys have been touring pretty hard this last few months anyway.
Well, I mean, music is a really good outlet. So we are all pretty well like matched as far as our dedication to what we're doing. So we preserve our practice time pretty religiously mm-hmm. every week. And it can sometimes be a little bit more on the social side of things, but we're also, you know, pretty diligent, especially some of us, about like keeping on track and working on stuff. And that, that becomes a really good musical outlet and kind of like,
it relieves that we like each other.
And we do like each other. It's like a relief valve, and I don't know.
Yeah, getting back to the question about being four women in a bluegrass band, I think one of the biggest things is it's really fun. Like, we're just very compatible, and although we're also very unique, but it just brings something I think that's probably different than a male bluegrass band. Or So I think like some of our interpersonal skills might be different than it would be.
Yeah, our band conversations, probably not what
right.
other band conversations maybe.
Also how I think just like our approach, like we can be stubborn about learning things or figuring out harmonies. And I think there's sort of a female element to that. Mm-hmm. So it works for us. And then so in terms of balancing our very committed work and parenting lives, it's an outlet for us. It's a creative outlet, this band is, and it's also fun. And we are so busy that it's pretty much our social life as well.
Yeah. It's like, I need to make some friends. Maybe I'll just join a band.
Although we can't join any more bands.
Yeah, we're cut off.
That's great. Well, how about another song? What do you want to play?
Sounds good. We're going to do one of mine. This is a song called Ghost Song. And I wrote it thinking about couples that have been together for a really long time and like committed relationships. And then what happens, kind of the void that is experienced when one of them passes away. So this is a song not written from my personal experience, but just kind of thinking about friends of mine, family members that have gone through this, and just writing from that perspective.
Nice. It's the Rosalies with Ghost Song in a JPR Live session.
The other night I thought I saw your shadow by my door. As I stood there in the kitchen, sweeping up the floor, I thought I smelled your skin again when I laid down to rest. I could taste your kisses, could feel your soft all the sadness spilling out, nowhere to hide. Maybe it was the ghost of you keeping me company. Oh, the love we shared doesn't disappear when you parted. It came so clearly, filled my heart with ease. When I turned around, I only saw the swaying pines. Your words left with the wind in my soul. All the sadness spilling out, nowhere to hide. Maybe it was the ghost of you keeping me company. Oh, the love we shared doesn't disappear when you parted from. Thank you. stood so many times. Now the days pass by, the seasons turn another page. The echo you left inside of me never grows quieter with age. Maybe it was a memory of you by my side. Maybe it's all the sadness spilling out, nowhere to hide. Maybe it was the ghost of you keeping me company. Oh, the love we shared doesn't disappear when you parted. Oh, the love we shared doesn't disappear when you parted from me.
That was Ghost Song. It's the Rosalies in a JPR live session. They're performing tonight at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival Green Show and tomorrow night at Mount Ashland. Get more information at therosalies.com. That's a very insightful song.
So, well, thank you very much, Dave.
So we talked a little bit about some of your writing and your influences and stuff like that. You just put an album together. How do you gel it all together in the studio doing that?
Oh, gosh.
How do the arrangements work? How does that?
Oh, great question. Well, I think a lot of the arrangements came together just through performing. Mm-hmm. And then we did invite a couple of our good friends, Bob Evanek and Jeff Jones, some kind of local patriarchs of the bluegrass scene, to sit in with us and give us some feedback.
They're also part of 33 String Drive.
Yeah. Nice. So the other band. So they gave us a couple of tweaks here and there, or would say, you know, oh, I hear like a voice in this part.
Also, Bob Evanek was our producer.
I was going to ask who, whose studio you were at.
So we had, I think, kind of the way the album happened is Becca is sort of the visionary and driven one in terms of getting us out there. And so she knew she wanted us to make an album. Mm-hmm. And then we sort of were like, it took us, particularly Rachel and I, a little bit of time to get comfortable with that.
Had to work. Right. Plant the idea, keep bringing it back up.
But it was apparent that Holly and Becca had a handful of really cool original songs, and then there were a couple covers that we just loved. And so Bob really supported that idea. Actually, after, I think it was last year after we played the Green Show, he came up to us and he was like, if you want to make an album, I want to produce it.
Cool.
So we had this handful of songs, and we did have, like, Bob helped us kind of tweak and improve some of them.
And we went to Tom Freeman's studio here in Ashland, because he and Bob had close connection and trusted him and was familiar with the studio space. And so I think that was part of it, is, you know, choosing people that we knew we were going to be really comfortable around, and people whose opinions we trusted and valued, for being our first time out, you know, wanted to make sure we were feeling comfy.
And it also ended up working really well, just because, again, we are so busy and always figuring out how we balance all of that. So we decided, we booked some time in the studio over the Christmas break, and we just took on three songs. And then we realized, oh, this is such a great approach, just to do three songs at a time. So we had studio time in December, and then a few months later, another chunk, and then a few months later, another chunk.
Kind of took the pressure off a little bit of, like, okay, you got 2 days to do 12 songs.
Right.
And it really allowed us to focus on those three songs and really get them the way we wanted them.
Uh-huh. And Becca and Holly, you guys are the lead vocalists. Are you guys the ones bringing in the lyrics primarily, or always?
Yeah, primarily. Rachel and Jesse will find songs too sometimes that we want to add to their set. I think Jesse just sent me a song.
They're always, Rachel and I are always trying to get Becca and Holly to sing more songs.
But we're always adding songs to our sets and, you know, but challenging ourselves.
Usually Becca, like if she writes a song, she pretty much has it. And then we all do collaborate in terms of arranging and harmonies. Holly often, sometimes will just bring a song and she has it. Sometimes she brings a song and like just needs like help with one verse. Wake Up Call, which we're going to do next, is a song that she wanted us to help give her some ideas too, which was really fun. Yeah.
Boy, were there ideas.
Let's make it was easy.
Yeah. We had to limit ourselves.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, we talked a little earlier about, I think, sort of the theme of Wake Up Call. Do you want to play Wake Up Call then?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's hear that. It's the Rosalie's in a JPR live session.
My back's up against the wall. Well, it's 10 a.m. and you're still in bed. Well, the wash needs done and the baby's deep bed. Wake up, call it, honey, can't you see? You want to wake it up next to me. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's your wake up call. And this life that you've been living, it's about to fall. Well, you say you're spent from your 9 to 5. Well, guess what, baby, so am I. Wake up, call the honey, can't you see? You won't be waking up next to me. Get up, get up, get up, it's your wake up call. Eyes are stacking up in the hole. Well, it's 1 p.m. and you're still in bed. I think I'm gonna lose my head. So wake up, call it, honey, can't you see? You won't be waking up next to me. Rise up, rise up, rise up, it's your wake up call. And the pantry's empty and the grass is getting tall. Well, you're still in bed scrolling on your phone. And I can't do this all alone. Wake up, call the honey, can't you see? You won't be waking up next to me. Well, goodbye, you missed your wake up call. After all this time, honey, you haven't changed at all. Well, all these warnings you did ignore. So goodbye, baby, I'm out the door. I got my wake-up calls, honey, can't you see? You won't be waking up next to me. I got my wake-up calls, honey, can't you see? You won't be waking up next to me.
That's Wake Up Call, the title track to the new album from the Rosalie's. They're my guests today in a JPR live session. Find more about them at their website, therosalies.com. Congratulations on the new album. I've been enjoying hearing it as I spin it on the air. And it's really kind of, it's sort of an aside right now. I've been doing a little bit of like research and because of some stories that happened about AI music this summer. Gosh. And it's really refreshing to hear instruments and vocals with, you know, very little else added to it. It's the tradition of music. It just carries on. There's room for electronics and music and stuff like that, but it sure is nice to hear it pure. So thanks for that.
Yeah,
and thanks for keeping that tradition going.
Yeah. Well, it's best played around a campfire.
Yeah. I hear that. So you have the OSF Green show tonight, Mount Ashland tomorrow. What else is on the horizon for the Rosalie's?
Oh, we got some fun gigs coming up. We got the Rosebud Theater in Roseburg on September 13th. We're going to be at Dos Mariposas here in the Rogue Valley on September 27th. We got a bunch of stuff in October too. Definitely worth checking out the website or social media sites. So okay. We got everything listed on there.
All right. Once again, that website is therosalies.com. Well, Rachel, Holly, Becca, and Jesse, thanks for joining us today. It's a real pleasure. The new album, they are the Rosalies. Their new album is Wake Up Call. We're spinning it quite a bit on open air right now. And you can find it and more information about them and all those upcoming shows at the website, therosalies.com, and their social media accounts. Thanks so much for coming in. It's been a real treat.
Thanks so much.
JPR Live Sessions are engineered by John Griffin of Lunazen Studios, made possible with support from the Talent Club, featuring live music and cold beverages in a casual atmosphere in Talent, Oregon. Their live music schedule is at talentclublive.com. And you can find this JPR Live session later on our website, ijpr.org, and wherever you find your podcasts. Also with a link at the JPR Music Facebook page and at Jefferson Public Radio on Instagram. I'm Dave Jackson. Thanks for listening to JPR Live Sessions. Open Air continues just ahead.